All right, let me.
Blog Talk
I'm going to get. We have music that we're going to listen to, so I'm going to hang up real quick. Hello, everybody. I hope everybody's doing good. Welcome to Vibe Time with Jerry. I'm having a little bit of technical difficulties tonight, so I hope that everybody bears with me. Let's see. Let me make a couple of announcements before I get started with the show itself. First, make sure that you go over and you like Virginia Paranormal Events page because, like I said before, John Stevens always puts all the paranormal events that's going on his page, and that way you can keep up with everything. And there's a lot of other paranormal stuff on there too, not just the paranormal events themselves, but he runs a really good page. A lot of people do, but that's where you want to go for all your paranormal events, stuff that is going on. Please go and like Vibe Time with Jerry. That way you can keep up with some of the show. You know, I put stuff out there, not just chakra related, but okay. Excuse me for 1 second. Yes, please. I'm trying to get David Flowers on here. We're having some connection issues, but please go like Vibe Time with Jerry. And the freaks tonight are not going to be on, so there's always technical difficulties. So never fails, right? But please go like their page as well, the Freakin' Awesome Shows page, because they always have some really cool stuff that they put out. It goes anywhere from paranormal to what the hell did we just eat kind of stuff or drink. So it's a really fun show to watch. Howie Odell's show, their shows are on Sunday night from 9 to 11 p.m. He's got a really good show. So, you know, if you can catch that, they do a Facebook Live, but they also do two hours worth of all kinds of stuff. So it would be very awesome to go check them out. Let me see what else. David Flowers, let me do an introduction on him. He is the founder and lead investigator for Virginia Paranormal Occurrence Research out of Newport News, which I had no idea that they had anything out of Newport News, but they do. So that is pretty awesome. It was formed in 2010, and he actually began ghost hunting in 1984 when he was a senior in high school. So he travels, or they travel, to various public and private locations, and he also teaches Paranormal 101 at the historic Powhatan Resort in Williamsburg, Virginia. I hope I said that right. If I didn't, just please correct me. So, you know, I didn't realize he taught Paranormal 101, so when he gets those classes back up and running, guess where I'll be going? To Paranormal 101, because I always like to take various classes. So let me take him off of mute and put him on, and let's hope to hell that he connects, because if not, I'm going to be spending an entire hour talking by myself, unless Dennis or someone is going to jump on board. Hold on, let's see. Are you there?
I'm here.
Oh,
can you hear me?
Yes, perfect. I was having a heart attack behind the scenes here because I'm like, I can't hear him. And I actually had to hang up and call back in.
Yeah, I don't know what was going on there.
Yeah, there was a bad connection. And I don't know if it could have been on my end too, because my phone began to get all staticky, and I'm like, are you freaking kidding me? Of all damn nights, you know.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, I didn't know that you did that. That you taught that class out there. John Stevens kept telling me to go out there. And I was like, okay. But that was at the time I didn't know you, you know, and I didn't know that that was you that taught those either. So I just kept getting sidetracked. And then, of course, COVID hits.
Yeah.
So.
It's a very, very elementary class. It's geared more towards the tourists than the actual paranormal enthusiasts. I tell people about all the equipment that we use in the field. I show them how to use it, and then at the end, I let them borrow some of my stuff and see what they get.
That's awesome. I didn't mean to cut you off. I'm kind of new to some of the equipment anyway, so that would actually help me out.
Yeah, yeah. I have you out there.
Yeah, I'm fairly, you know, because I am so used to, being my own equipment, if that makes sense. I'm just so used to doing it because I'm super sensitive. So I've always used myself. But lately I've been wanting a lot of validation, so that's why I had started getting some equipment, like, you know, doing EVPs and stuff like that, because I wanted that extra validation there.
Right, right. Yeah, and it's just my opinion here, but I believe everybody needs to be validated, whether it's you hear something during an investigation, you have your recorder, hopefully you caught on recording, hopefully somebody else will say, yeah, I heard that too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I know Sunday we went, I did some investigating on Saturday night, and it was at an undisclosed location, and I had taken one of my youngest sons with me, and we had taken the recorder. I used the body cam because that sucker catches every damn thing, like just everything. It's like one of the best recorder devices I've ever used out of everything I've used so far. And he kept telling me that there was somebody talking in his ear, and I couldn't hear it. But when I did a playback on the EVP before he would say that, somebody actually was talking, and it's on the EVP. And then he's telling me a man's talking in my ear, Mom, because he's 11, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so that just validated everything with him, because I knew he had some things, but I didn't know it was to that extreme.
Right, right. And I believe a lot of kids have some sort of ability, but as they get older, they grow out of it.
Right.
And especially if they don't have somebody there to nurture whatever ability that they have. Because
right.
I think a lot of times as parents, when something's going on with the kids and it's scaring them or whatever, and we say, oh, that's just your imagination. And they end up growing out of their ability, whatever it may be. And I believe it's the parents'
right.
fault when it happens.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you on that. I mean, I have my abilities at 6. Went to psychiatrist at 13 because, you know, my parents struggled with that, and lost it from about 13 to, I want to say, probably 30s. For some reason, it just completely shut down, and I went to that one funeral and touched that body, and it reactivated everything. Like, it
yeah.
never disappeared. I don't know what happened, but, you know, I was just touched Pop-Pop's hand to tell him goodbye, and it's turned a switch on. I don't know how it happened. And mine, because I practice stuff every day, I'm very fortunate. I have not lost that ability. I ended up doing a reading actually Saturday for a lady that I'd never met, but her parent was so strong on her. And I guess there were some things that this lady had been carrying for years. And I, you know, just ended up telling her that, you know, what the messages that her mother wanted to give her. And, you know, but it's something that you have to practice and keep doing every day. But I agree with you on the parent thing. I have parents and kids that will come to me, and it's like they don't want their kids to have that. It's, you know, they're afraid that it's going to turn into something bad.
Right, yeah.
If that makes sense, or they're going to attract something bad, which is not necessarily the case. It's all in how you ground and handle things.
Yes, definitely, definitely. Grounding that is super, super important right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. So you pay for it
when
you don't.
Yeah, and there's times when I wish I had some sort of ability, but then there's other times I'm glad I don't. And
yeah.
What my wife would tell you is I'm as sensitive as a rock. But I believe the longer you're in the paranormal field, I believe you start developing, I don't want to say developing being as sensitive, because I'm far from it. But there have been a few times on some investigations when just like the hair on the back of my neck will stand up, and I'll say there's something going on here, and then we capture something either on an EVP or a video or a picture or something.
Right.
But like I said, I'm nowhere near being as sensitive. I just had a few, I'm going to say, like deja vu moments.
Right. And see, I always believe that people can have the abilities that I have, because everybody always says, well, that's a special gift you have that people want. And I'm like, well, everybody has the ability to do it, but it's something that you have to work on every day. It has to be fine-tuned. It's almost like it's like tuning into a radio, you know, and
right.
you're listening to one frequency. You're tuning into that one frequency, even though I'm hearing a bunch of them, but I'm tuning into that one, and then that's when I hear spirit chatter. Mm-hmm. That's what happens for me. You know, or in the morning when I'm meditating and listening to frequency stuff, I'm tuning into one piece of that frequency, and that keeps stuff going, but it's just something that has to be fine-tuned daily. That's why I tell people don't walk up on me, because if you do, you might get kicked in the leg like the guy yesterday that poked me. Don't do that to me, because I will drop kick you. You know. I will
drop
kick you.
Good to know.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. He came up and, like, tapped the back of my back. You know how somebody just plays around and they grab you? Well, I drop kicked him right in the knee, and he was like, "What did you do that for?" I said, "You do not understand. I have spirit that comes up to me on a daily basis, every single solitary day. Some way, either the hair on the back of my neck will raise up, you know, or there'll be fluctuations in temperature, different things, or I'll get poked." I said, "So poking me is not a wise thing to do."
Right.
So I'm the
good
one that
know.
Needs to, yeah, I'm like, don't do that to me. So, but listen, have you always lived in Newport News?
No. I was actually born in California and raised in Texas. I've been in Southeast Virginia for 35 years. Uncle Sam brought me here.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So what made you want to do paranormal investigations? Because you've been doing them since high school. So how did you get started in that?
Well, the town that I grew up in Texas, it's just a little small one flashing light town, population was 1,000, so not a whole lot to do there. And there's this old abandoned farmhouse that right outside of town that everybody always said it was haunted. Well, one night, me and a group of my friends, we got together. We wanted to go out there and see what we could see. And we're out there looking around, and I looked in one of the windows, and there was a rocking chair in there, and it was rocking. And
uh-huh.
I was pretty much hooked after that.
Oh, wow. That is so cool. Yeah. Creepy, but cool.
Yeah. Yeah. It was, as a senior in high school, it scared the crap out of me, but it also hooked me at the same time.
Yeah.
So
it can be addicting, I think.
Yeah. And so just ever since then, I started going different places, seeing what I could see and everything. I didn't really get heavy into the paranormal to spend about 20 years now for that. I mean, it's actually studying what I was actually doing and not just going out to have a good time and see what I could see.
Right. Well, that's awesome. I've been doing like private homes before I met. Well, I went last year. I went to Westmoreland State Park and I met Ryan and I met Michael there. And they, of course, you know, Ryan, he does the Freaking Awesome Show and he does paranormal investigations. Well, so does Michael. So that's how I really got started in the historic part and going to things like the Cabin on 360. Cause I just went to people's houses. I would get a house call and I would go to their house and, you know, or go to places like Yorktown and Williamsburg. So I would say between 2019 and this year, it's been really great because I've met all kinds of new people to include you, you know, and so I haven't been doing like the investigations, you know, like they do with a big group of people or groups of people. I haven't been, I've only been doing that really since November because I've always done houses, you know, people's houses and stuff.
Right. Yeah. And personally, I'd much rather do the private ones than the public ones. The big public ones, yeah, you get to meet a lot of people, and that's really cool. But there's always too many people there, and it doesn't matter how well it's ran, it's too many people there, and you just can't really get really good evidence because there's always some sort of contamination.
Right. I agree with you on that. I got the empath side, so I pick up everybody's emotions when I'm there.
Yeah.
So I'm picking up, with your opinion, I'm going to pick that up. So I pick up a lot of that. So I do like doing the private homes. I'm going back to the place that I went to this past Saturday because I think that this place had never been investigated. And I just think that the spirits that are there didn't know what that equipment was. Because nobody has ever investigated there. And I just think that they didn't know how to act. That's what I was telling one of my friends tonight. You know, I was using my REM pod and it just kept going off. And I know that there's children in this one particular part of the house. And I think that they were really playing with that device. What do you think about that thought of them not? It's like I said, it was like a virgin, really, because it's never been touched.
Yeah, and I totally agree with that. You're somewhere that's never been investigated before, or never had any actual investigators other than people just trying to see what they could see. You bring in a piece like. You mentioned the REM pod. You bring in a REM pod. That's something new to them. And it's like a kid with a toy. They want to see what they can do with it.
Yeah, they were having a field day with it. And at first I thought it was my cell phone. I thought maybe, you know, well, maybe I'm standing too close to it, but I wasn't. You know, I wasn't standing too close to that. I started questioning that. And I was like, well, maybe I'm standing in a position where it's picking it up. But everything with the exception of, no, everybody's phone was on airplane mode with the exception of my phone because I was recording the session, some of the session off of that. But I stood far enough away back where it wouldn't have set that REM pod off.
Right, yeah.
It was just wild.
And the phones, they will mess with a K2 meter. But they don't really mess with the REM pods.
Okay. So that is valid evidence then. That is.
Yeah. And like I said, they'll mess with a K2 meter in a heartbeat. But with the REM pod, putting off a field, and something is breaking that field.
Okay. So then I'm safe to upload that. I didn't upload those particular videos yet because I was questioning them, but I just really, I've always known the whole time that there's been something up there on the third floor of this house, that there has always been something up there, children, which I did get an EVP where you can hear a small child, and then you hear my son say, somebody just spoke to me, you know, and you could hear the little girl say something, and I knew that there was a man there, and he knows the owner by their name because I didn't even get into a second of the EVP, and he tells me their name, kind of creepy, so... You know, I've kind of told the owner they need to make up their mind whether or not they want that spirit there because he sounded very creepy and he felt creepy.
Yeah.
You know.
And that's the thing that when I'm doing a private investigation, you always ask the owner, what do you want done? Because a lot of times they just want validation that, there is something going on. And they come to peace with sharing their house with the former inhabitants. But sometimes they want whatever's there to be gone. And that's when you got to take further steps.
Right. I don't know if they want this gone or not, but personally, well, I get touched sometimes even in the privacy of my own home, you know, even if I'm, I don't care how much sage I do, that just, it happens with what I have. But on that person's level, I'm not sure that I would want spirit sleeping with me. And this particular spirit gets into the bed with them. They can literally feel it. And I, and that, that's like a violation to me. I wouldn't want that. You know,
yeah.
I mean, it's bad enough I get tapped on the arm.
Yeah, it definitely a no-no there.
Yeah, so that's what they got to make up their mind about. And I think some people, you know, some people are happy with their spirits in their home. They don't want to do anything about it, but then they don't want any of the activity either. And I'm like, y'all got to make up your mind.
Right.
You know. You can't have it both ways. You either want them there or set up your boundaries or something.
Right.
You know. So what is the most interesting place that you have investigated out of all your investigations that you've done?
The most interesting, I'm going to have to say that the manor house there at the Powhatan Resort, that's probably been the most interesting place I've been, just because the history of the area and the history that I know of the house and all the evidence that I've collected there.
Okay.
I've gotten EVPs, I've gotten shadow figures, I've gotten full body apparitions, you name it, I've got it. I've been touched, and so that was probably, that's my most interesting place I've been to.
Okay. You know, I have never been there.
Well, we're going to have to change that.
Yeah, we're going to have to change that because, you know, I have lived in Virginia my whole life. My dad retired here. He was in the military. You know, he was in the Army. He retired at from Fort Eustis. And
I
have
right
never.
Around the corner from Fort Eustis.
You do Fort Useless.
Yeah, Fort Useless.
I call it Fort Useless. I was trying to be nice. But we've never been there. I've been to Duke of Gloucester and a couple places in Williamsburg, but I have never been there.
Yeah.
So
I thoroughly love it there. I feel, you know, like I said, I'm not sensitive, but I get a welcoming feeling there.
Right. Well, I mean, are you? Oh, go ahead.
Yeah. So, in fact, one night when I went there, because when I go there, I always say hello. I walk in, I said hello like I always do, and then right when I said hello, there's a man's voice that is deeper than mine and said welcome, and I was the only person there, so it kind of got me hooked on that place.
Oh yeah. I think it would get me hooked on that too. That's really cool. Does your wife investigate with you?
No, she does not. She used to work there at the resort and worked in the manor house, and she did an investigation there one time with another group. That's before I started investigating there. And that other group, they did some provoking, which I'm completely against, but they did it,
right.
And she just had something follow her home and wasn't so nice. So that was all of it for her. She said, okay, I'm done.
Right. I can understand that. I had something like that similar happen, and I didn't want anything to do with anything I had for quite a few months because it scared me. And I was like, if this is the way it's going to be, then you can just get away from me right now. And I just cut myself completely off from communication with spirit. But then people would come up and somebody would step out with them. And it was like it wasn't meant for that to happen. I think that the universe was trying to show me that there's another side that I had not come face to face with. I had not met my match yet. And so I had to kind of look at it that way. So I ended up slowly, gradually going back into what I had always known since I was 6 years old.
Yeah.
You know, so it's not something that you can just cut off like that.
No, it's not.
No. And just when I think it's cut off, it's not. You know, it'll happen like I hadn't done a reading in a while. So, you know, Frank, he's out of New Jersey Rope. They have their paranormal team. That's who one of the home teams is that I do stuff with whenever I get to see them, which is, you know, few and far between, but I go into a lot of their meetings and conference calls if I can get on them. And, you know, he would say, tell me things, you know, you'll meet your match one day. And I did. So I just, like I said, I can't, it's not, I guess it was just wasn't meant for that to be cut off. So, and just when I think it goes away, it doesn't. I had the lady Saturday, and I didn't know her from Adam. I didn't know her mom that had passed away, and her mom just stepped out and gave the messages. And so just when I think I don't have it, it's there.
Yeah, and like I said, the first time I got any kind of a feeling at an investigation, it unnerved me. I'm not going to say it scared me, but it rattled me a little bit. And I said, what the heck is going on here? I never felt like this before. And then I talked to somebody, and they said, that's perfectly natural there. When you're in the field long enough, you do start getting some sort of feelings. And I said, okay. Warn me next time.
Right. That's right. I think John Stevens says the same things, that he, you know, the more he goes and investigates, the more sensitive he becomes to things.
Right.
Which, I mean, I can see why. You know, I mean, I know the chills up, you know, when your hair rises off the back of your neck, obviously you have something that's right there with you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's how one of my friends senses a spirit. Her hair on her arms will start rising, and then the hair on the back of her neck starts rising. So that's how she initially knows that spirit is around her. So.
Yep.
So I would say that you're somewhat sensitive. I mean, you know.
Maybe, I don't know, but
yeah, a little
bit. And the thing that gets me in doing the 101 and the tours the way I do, I've been doing them for 10 years now. If I had a dollar for every time somebody walked in and said, I'm a sensitive, I could retire right now.
Yeah.
And majority of, I'm not going to say they're all full of crap, but the majority of them, I think it was just gas.
Yeah.
Just because you're hearing things in your head doesn't mean you're sensitive. It means you need to go see a doctor.
Right.
Yeah. Don't get me wrong. I do believe in empaths and sensitives and all that. But now this is just my personal opinion. I don't believe everybody is as sensitive as they say they are.
There's
a lot
see
of
that.
Them I believe that are good at reading people.
I think I agree with you on that. I've met people like that, and I've met people that trips me out. They'll tell me something, and with me being as sensitive like I am, I don't know. I'm not seeing and feeling what they're seeing and feeling. So I'm like, we kind of go back and forth with these disputes, you know, and I'm like, okay, you know, but yeah, I have met people that say they're sensitive and they're really not. I just know that I've had something like this since I was 6 years old, and it's, you know, it shut down for a while and it came back, and, you know, it's something that I can't shut off. And sometimes I'm not sure I want to.
Let me ask you this.
Sure.
Okay, let me ask you this. Can you have two sensitives in the same location, and one sensitive reading one spirit and another sensitive reading another spirit? Does that make sense?
It does, because that's where me and this other friend of mine that is a sensitive get into disputes at, because she's seeing one thing and I'm not seeing and hearing what she's seeing. I'm seeing and hearing something else. So me and her get into it sometimes because I'm not, she's like, are you, we do, you know, because I'm like, I don't know what the hell you're talking about, you know? So we have gotten into it.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, I don't know,
yeah.
Because I just, you know, I've normally done stuff on my own because I haven't been able to find people that I trust with what I have, because I have been possessed twice. And thank God I was with the people that I was with to help me with that, because I don't know what would have happened had I not been with that group. But, you know, it's just, I don't know. I've just, after that, I did things on my own, and I'm just now starting to open up to a couple of people that I trust to go on investigations with because of some of the stuff that I have. I mean, this spirit, before that happened to me, she manifested from something beautiful into something evil right in front of me, and then just took me over from there.
And that there is a perfect reason why I'm glad I'm not sensitive.
Yeah.
Because I wouldn't want to deal with that.
Right. Yeah, that was something, and that was part of. See, when I met New Jersey Rope, they actually came down to Gloucester. You know, they came down to Gloucester to investigate a house because somebody had called them. I don't know how she knew them, but that's how I met the team that I do some of my trainings and stuff with. Well, before they allowed me on their team, I chose to drive to New Jersey to get some of the training, because they do very, very extensive classes. They don't play around with their investigations. They take them very seriously. They have a very organized guideline. And in order for me to show them that I was not bullshitting them, I went to several different training houses and gave readings on their training houses to show them that I was not bullshitting, that I'm saying who I say I am. And so that's how all that got about. You know, so I do long distance stuff for them, like grids and things like that. If they go on investigations and they need protection grids, I'll set those up for them. You know, but that's one of the things that I had to do in order to be a part of that team, was to do that. You know, like with when I do readings, I don't charge people for my readings. It's something that's been given to me. It's something that I have, you know, so I just, if I see the person and somebody steps out, I give them their reading. Now, when we did the Cabin on 360 event, that was charged, but none of that money went to me. It went to Sawyer, the little girl with cancer. I think,
right.
I don't know if you've seen her on Facebook. So that's where that money went to. It was a fundraising event. But, you know, like when I do readings and stuff like that on people, most of the time it's on people I don't even know, and it's out in public. I'll have to stop them dead in their tracks. You know, and I'm like, excuse me, can we talk a minute? I don't know if you believe in this. You know, so I'd give that line, and then they're like, oh, my gosh. So that's how I do mine. I don't like sit like some people do, where they charge people umpteenth amount of hundreds of dollars, and it pisses me off.
You don't have a crystal ball sitting in front of you?
No, I don't have a crystal ball. I do have a ball, but I don't use it for that purpose either. I use it to gaze into, actually. No, yeah. I don't have
and
the ball.
Yeah, and that's what gets me upset with some of these paranormal groups. I've seen on Facebook here recently, they started charging because of this COVID stuff. It doesn't matter if it's COVID or not. How can you charge for it?
Right.
Because with the paranormal, it is impossible to guarantee results.
You're right. You're absolutely right about that.
And if somebody's going to charge me for something, I want a guaranteed result. It doesn't matter if I like the result or not, but I want a result.
Right.
How many times have you gone to a place that investigated and said, hey, I'm not getting anything right now? But that doesn't mean the place is not haunted. It just means they're in hiding right now.
You're absolutely right about that. Before the house and town burnt down, the first day I went over there, they scattered. They just scattered. Like, let me go into the wall here, because the lady wanted a reading done on her house. So I went over there and I was like, okay, you know, and they just scattered with the exception of a couple of people. So I went to each room because it was a 3-story house, old Victorian house, went to each room. And if there was a woman, there was an elderly woman standing in there, you know, I told her, I was like, well, you got a woman standing in this room, you know, but as I got to go over more, because she lived right around the corner from me, they came out more, you know, they got more active. And like 2 weeks before her house burnt down, it was very active. The lights were flickering. And I was like, you know what? One of your spirits is telling me that there's some wiring and there's something wrong in these walls here, because they went into a full-fledged panic. And I kept telling her, I was like, there's something in the walls. There's something going on in these walls. But it didn't quite say, hey, we got an electrical issue. We're going to burn down in 2 weeks. You know, but that's what ended up happening. There was an electrical issue within the wall, and it burnt the whole house down. But her spirits in the beginning were not active. They just kind of, like I said, they scattered. And then as I gradually went there, they came out more and more. You know, I would then start to see, like, people walk past me, or would see a loaf of bread fly off her shelf, or flickering of newspapers, you know, because I started to hang out there a little bit more often. And I guess they got to know me, if that makes sense. Like, oh, here she is.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
Just
yeah,
her.
Definitely.
Yeah. It's just yeah. her. So, you know, we're okay with her. And, but when the house burnt down, the spirits that were primarily there left, and they finally were able to rebuild their house. So now the only spirits that are there are like true family members, because the property was handed down from generation to generation to generation. So it's actually the property that has the spirit activity on it, really, and not the house anymore, if that makes sense. But it's just family there, and not all these people she had in there before. It was like a portal, or she had a portal or something going on in her house.
Right. Yeah.
So,
and
that's what I think. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was just clearing my throat there.
No, I was going to say, when I go back to this other house that I went to Saturday, I think that as they get more familiar, then they'll be more active a little bit, maybe.
Yes, definitely. And the manor house, when I first started going there, a little bit would happen here and there. But as I started going there more and more, I started collecting more and more on a more frequent basis. And I attribute that to the fact that I go there all the time. I'm always respectful when I go there, and they're comfortable with me.
Right. Right. And, I mean, I think people should be respectful. I've never tried to taunt anything spirit-wise, because after that stuff happened in New Jersey with the possession and everything. I mean, we didn't taunt even then, but it just made me realize that there are things out there that are stronger than I am.
Oh, yeah. And the way I look at it, if the only way I am going to make contact with a ghost or a spirit, whatever you want to call it, if the only way I'm going to make contact with it is by pissing it off, I don't want to do it.
Right.
Right. I'm a pretty good sized man. I can fight a lot of things. You can't fight that stuff.
Mm-mm.
When they fight, they don't fight fair. They fight to win.
Right.
It's not like I can punch it in the nose and get it away from me.
Yeah, exactly.
I can say my prayers and I can be protected to some extent. But when you go doing that provoking stuff, it's a whole new ball of wax there.
Right. Right. How do you feel about, and I've heard it in a couple of investigations with people, they will tell the spirit that's there, use my energy. How do you feel about that when people say that?
If it depends on the person. If you know how to protect yourself, how to block things, I don't see anything wrong with that. But if you're just somebody like me, for example, if you go in there and say, here, take my energy, and I don't have the metaphysical training like you do. If I say that, I'm asking for trouble because you're opening yourself up.
Right.
I believe you have to have special training to be able to do that.
Right. See, when I've been in investigations, people have said that, here, take my energy. And it's in my recordings. I'm like, don't take any of mine because I need all the energy I can get.
Yeah. Because when you're saying take my energy, you're opening yourself up. And when you open yourself up, you're letting your guard down.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay.
I have said, touch my hand or touch my arm, but that's touching, that's not taking.
Right, right. That has just always bothered me when I've heard people say, take my energy, because I'm like, I'm standing like next to them, and I'm like, but don't take mine, hooker, you know, I don't want you touching me.
Yeah.
You know, you can take their energy if you want to, but you ain't taking mine.
Yeah,
and I guess I looked at it as you are opening yourself up to something happening, like a possession, because I learned quite a bit out of that possession. I had no control. I got very tired. I was wide awake, and then all of a sudden I got really cold. The lights started to dim. I remember getting extremely tired, and I remember the lady Carrie next to me saying, you can't go to sleep now. And I'm like, yes, I can. And I, and this, whoever it was, because at the time I didn't see her the first time, she pushed my head so far down into my chest, called me a bitch and just sat in me. And then I don't remember anything after that. And it's all on record. every ounce of it is on record.
Earlier when I told you that one investigation that my wife did, and she was possessed there for that, and we almost got divorced over it.
Yeah.
Because neither one of us knew what was going on at the time.
And I
still remember the exact moment that whatever it was left. We went up to Ohio to her mom and dad's house, and we were sleeping in the basement, and we were having a conversation one night while we were there, and it's like somebody turned the light on. It actually got a little bit brighter in there, and she said, "Oh my God, all of a sudden I feel good." And
huh.
That was Yeah. So that, and that's, and she's stayed away from the paranormal since then.
Right. Yeah, I can understand that, because you really don't remember anything.
Yeah.
You know, so that's sometimes why I question, like, you know, if people commit heinous crimes, sometimes I wonder that mindset, because you don't remember a thing. Like, that it was two times in the same night. I didn't remember anything. That spirit was so strong that it was able to manipulate the heat. It was able to manipulate my body heat. And so I got cold to go stand in front of the fire, and she, this time she manifested in front of me, and she was so pretty. And then all of a sudden she turned dark and came right back in me. And I'm like, not remembering anything. You know, I just knew that that particular night it took five people to take me out of the home. And when they dropped me on the concrete, that spirit dropped out of my body. She just left at that point. Yeah, as soon as they dropped me on the concrete, it's like she fell out, like, I'm leaving now, you know, and she ditched me, which was a good thing, because I didn't remember anything. And my sister was with me, and she was in a full-fledged panic.
I bet so.
She was like, your eye color changed, your voice changed, you were, every other word that was coming out of your mouth was the F word, and you just would not stop saying that word. I was like, So, but they use that recording. They have it on like a recorder, and they use that recording as part of their training. So,
yeah, that's really cool there.
Yeah, they use it as part of their.
You, but...
Yeah, yeah, it really wasn't, because I honestly don't remember. I don't remember anything. I know that. Today, I can't push my neck that far down into my chest. Not like this thing did. I mean, it pushed it all the way down into my chest. I can't even do that myself. So,
sounds painful.
But it's something, yeah, you know, like I said, they use it. And I have the recording here. I just have never listened to it. I came across it actually today when I was looking for the Cabin on 360's recording, when Dennis goes down the stairs and he says, hello, asshole, and the spirit comes back and says, fuck you. I have that on one of my recordings, and I was looking for it because I was going to upload it onto Facebook, and I can't find the recording, and I'm so mad. And I came across the recording from New Jersey, and I was like, ooh, you know, and I ended up not listening to it because I don't want to manifest that back. So... I just kind of left it alone and just kind of left it sitting. You know.
Yeah. This past Saturday, I was at Enriquez Park, at Historical Park, with Transcend, and they were doing the Estes method. And they, a few times with different people doing it, had an F-bomb thrown around, and it's just and it went, and it was in line with the conversation that we were having, and it was just really, I'm not going to say scary, because it wasn't scary, but it was really weird having those kind of words thrown around when the person with the headphones on, they can't hear what's going on.
Right.
Yeah,
so did y'all have fun there? I mean, it seemed like it was a good event.
It was a really good event. It was. They had us in groups of six, and at the different locations, and Steve and them, they did a really good job.
Awesome. You know, I haven't been to there either.
This is the first time I've been there. That was my first time.
Have you investigated any of the historical places in Newport News? Or
no,
Yorktown?
I have not. I've been out to Yorktown with my recorder and everything, but as far as they don't want anybody there after dark and anything, so couldn't do a whole lot.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to say, I go there during the daytime. I've never really been there, like, at nighttime because, like you said, there are certain places they don't want people past dark time. I mean, their places are open to the public, but there are certain places they don't want people to be at.
Yeah.
I just know that.
One thing during...
Go ahead.
During the lockdown, I was able to go out to Colonial Williamsburg because it's all public roads, so you're allowed to walk around there. And I was out there like 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, midnight, and just with my voice recorder and my camera, and I didn't catch anything on a video or a picture, but got a couple of strange sounds on the voice recorder.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
That would be interesting to listen to.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't listened to all my recordings. Go ahead, I'm sorry. I keep interrupting you. I don't mean
Unfortunately, that last one I had, I downloaded it on my computer, and before I had a chance to back it up, my computer fried.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I hate it when that happens.
That sucks. I lost an EVP from the house that I did this weekend because I hit a wrong button and accidentally erased it.
Yeah. Been there, done that.
Yeah, I didn't mean to. Or have you ever erased the wrong EVP?
Yes.
Yeah.
You had a whole file full of different files and you hit delete on the wrong one.
Yeah. I've done that. Very guilty of that.
When I do that, I prove I'm a sailor.
Yep, I've done that. This week I ordered some thumb drives just to put all my EVPs on a thumb drive because I got to get everything off of my computer. It's taking up so much space.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah, I was talking to my stepson. He says I need to go get an external hard drive.
Mm-hmm.
He said, sounds good to me. So it works just like a thumb drive, but it holds the same amount as your computer will hold.
I got one. I've got one. I should be using that too. I've got a Toshiba one. I love it, and I've had it for years. But I gotta get some of these files backed up because I got way too many on here. So, and it just takes up too much space.
Yeah.
On everything. You know, but I don't know if Ryan's going to be doing his show tonight or not. He said he was going back and forth whether or not he wanted to do the freaking awesome show. So he may not. I don't know if he's going to do his stuff or not. But we got about 59 seconds left before he jumps on board, which I don't see him yet. So maybe he's not going to do it. But what's your favorite piece of equipment that you use before I get ready to go off the air? Because I don't think he's doing his stuff.
Yeah, my favorite piece is either the voice recorder or one of the night vision cameras.
Okay. The night vision cameras, is that?
Is it infrared or IR or full spectrum?
Okay. I'll have to look. I've seen those. I looked at a couple of those this evening when I was looking at the ghost stop shop. Is that the ones you're talking about?
Yeah, you can get them at Ghost Stop or GhostHunterStore.com, but on my cameras, I'll normally go to Amazon. You can usually get a little bit better price from Amazon.
Okay.
I'll go to Ghost Stop or Ghost Hunter to buy my digital voice, or not digital voice recorder, but EMF detector or REM pod or whatever. But the voice recorders and the cameras, I usually get those from Amazon.
What camera do you use for that?
I've got this old camcorder that's set up with an infrared, and then I'll use an external light for lighting, because the light that's on the camera itself, it's good for like 10 feet, but other than that, after that, it's pretty much black. So you get an external light, and they're a whole lot better.
Now, are you using a regular, digital camcorder?
Yeah, it's a digital camcorder. Got an SD card in it.
Okay. I was wondering, because I know my mom, she's not using her camcorder, and it's digital. And I was like, can I use that for when I go on this next investigation? And she was like, sure. But I wasn't sure about the lighting and how well that was going to do in the lighting. So you do need an external light for that then. Does it just clip on?
Yeah. Now, it's got to have, has to have the night shot mode.
Okay.
If it doesn't have a night shot mode, it won't work too well, unless you have a regular white light. But if it has night shot, you want to get the external IR lights, infrared lights, and that'll light everything up, but you won't be able to see the light with your own eyes, but your camera will be able to detect it.
Okay. I'll probably get back with you when I go pick it up, because, I know she paid good money for the one that she's got, so I'm going to check it to see if it has night mode, because the body cam that I have, it does pick up night mode, but it only picks up so far.
Yeah, and now it'd probably pick up further if you had an external light source.
Yeah, I'm going to have to figure out how I would hook that up to the body cam.
Yeah.
I guess I could write Bob Love and find out if they have something like that, or how to go about doing that, because the body cam that I got is, like I said, to me, that's the best piece of equipment that I have so far, because it picks up everything. I mean, it picked up stuff that my phone didn't pick up.
Right.
You know, and I had four recorders going, but the body cam just picks up just the most minute thing. I'm amazed on how super sensitive it is.
Yeah, as far as the audio goes?
Yes. It takes good video too, as far as the body cam itself, but that the audio part of that is just amazing to me.
Yeah. I've been wanting to get a body cam. Like, you're talking a GoPro or something like that?
Well, I didn't get the GoPro. I ended up getting the, I think it's the P1000 off of Amazon.
Okay.
It's called Bob Love, and it was the P. I'm looking it up for you while I got you on the phone, because I'm pleased with that. I'm very happy with it. I ordered a harness actually for it, because, you know, if you clip it to your shirt, there's a lot of movement there. So I actually ended up ordering a harness for it so that it'll stay in place and not move around as much. But that piece of equipment, it's the Bob Love P100. I'll screenshot it and send it to you. But I'm pleased with that one. It takes good audio. It takes really good video. The only issue I have is that when I clip it to the shirt, there's too much movement there.
Yeah.
You know, but other than that, it's a really good piece of equipment, and it just picks up. You fart, and it's going to pick it up. I mean, it's just that super sensitive, you know, and I like it because I can hook it up into my computer. There's a little password that you put in. It's all sixes, I think. You put in the little password, and then I had to download a different program on my computer. I think it's called VLC or VCL or something like that because it wouldn't run with my regular Windows.
Right.
It wouldn't run with that, so I had to download a separate program for it, and it works perfect on that. I just can't think of the name, VLC or VCL, but I like it because you can go back just like you do with an EVP when you hook it up to your computer. But I don't know, I'm just very pleased with it, and I use it when I drive too. So it's not just for paranormal stuff. It's, you know, if I'm driving late at night, I have that on as well.
Yeah.
You know, so you never, because you never know what you're going to pick up driving.
Yeah,
either.
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah,
especially
I went
nowadays.
Ahead and I did that. Heck yeah, you know. So, I ordered the harness for it, and that's going to come in on July the 7th. And, I'm going to see how that hooks in, and hopefully it'll hold it nice in place because that's what I want it to do. I don't want it moving everywhere. But that came from Dr. the Haunted MD because he used one when they set up. And I was like, you know, that's a really good idea to have that when you're setting up because you miss so many different things when you're setting up. You can miss something walking by you, you know, or, you know, just
definitely
miss something. You know, so I went ahead and I got it, and that was a really good investment. I'm very pleased with that. Out of everything that I do have, I mean, I don't have a lot of equipment. I got a REM pod, and I did get a spirit box. I've got an EMF meter, and I've got a recorder. But out of all those, that's the best investment I could have made.
Good deal.
So, yeah. But I guess Ryan isn't going to come on tonight, but I do appreciate you coming on my show and taking the time out of your schedule to be a guest on Vibe Time.
It's not a problem at all. I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Yes, and please let me know when you start your classes back, because I know quite a bit of people, even Newport News and Williamsburg Arrows. I mean, those are my stomping grounds, and they would be interested in taking classes. I've always got friends that, you know, kind of want to do it, but they're kind of reluctant. But maybe if they learned more about the equipment, they may not be so reluctant as to, oh, I can't do this like you can, because yes, they can.
Yeah, yeah. Anybody can do it. Just have to have the want.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
So... but, yeah, please, you know, shoot me a message when you start those back up.
Sure will. I sure will.
Yeah, and I'll come back out. Now, is there an age limit on that?
No. No. Yeah,
okay.
Now, I do, if people want to actually do a real investigation when it's not with everybody there, we do that, but we have a 16-year-old limit, minimum,
okay,
as far as the investigations go. But if you're
okay,
if you're there just for the 101 and tour, that's open to everybody.
Okay. I got you. So that's something I could bring my 11-year-old to, but if there's an investigation done, I would have to leave him at home pretty much.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, he'd have to be stuck at home. He'll be all right.
Yeah.
It ain't gonna hurt him. All righty. Well, I really appreciate you coming on the show. And what is the name of your page so people can go and like it?
It's Virginia Paranormal Occurrence Research.
Okay, so if anybody's
out
there,
a shorter name.
No,
uh-huh.
It's perfect. I said it's perfect. I just couldn't remember off the top of my head what it what the name of it was, so that, you know, people that are listening or, you know, tuning in can go like your page.
Yep.
You know, and then that one. Yeah, and you post your classes on there too, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So see, that's perfect.
As soon as they start back up, I'll post them on there.
Do you have an estimation when you think they'll start back up?
The last word I got, I'll be surprised if they start up this year.
Okay. Oh, wow.
October will be the earliest.
Now, is that place currently open, though, or no?
They are open. The resort is open, but they don't have any amenities open.
Okay. That makes sense.
They got the restaurant and everything there. The restaurant, none of that is open. Basically, you're renting a room, and you have to go out somewhere else to eat or look around.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, hopefully this stuff will, you know, go back to where it needs to go back to, and we can get back to business here.
Yeah, I'm hoping.
Yeah.
It's starting to hurt my wallet. Yeah.
Well, I bet it is, you know. I'm sure it is. So, well, I appreciate you coming on, and I hope
to see you
soon. Oh, you're welcome, and I hope to see you soon somewhere when they're doing these. I know I'm going on the July 11th. Are you going to the July 11th?
360?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I'm got to see what my wife's schedule is, but I'm thinking I'm probably going to be there.
Okay, because I'll be at that event. I'll just be there when it starts kind of later on, because it's my mom's birthday at the same time.
Gotcha.
You know, so we'll see. But hopefully I'll see you there. And if not, I'll catch you somewhere. Maybe we can do something together. I mean, I go to Newport News, too.
Sounds good to me.
Mm-hmm. All righty, that works. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
You're welcome, and you have a great night.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.